AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Kathan. New numbers indicate inflation is easing some, but still running high. The government says consumer prices went up slightly last month, just off January's pace, and prices are 6% higher than 1 year ago. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The biggest contributor to the monthly report was shelter. It accounted for over 70% of the increase. The energy index is up 5.2% for the 12 months ending in February. The food index increased by 9.5%.
A class action suit's been filed against the parent company of Silicon Valley Bank, alleging the company didn't disclose the risks posed by rising interest rates. Facebook's parent company is slashing jobs, as we hear from CBS's Allison Keyes.
Meta is planning to lay off 10,000 workers and will not fill 5,000 open jobs. The company is also pushing some leaders into lower-level positions. Grace Kay, business reporter for Insider, tells CBS Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has discussed flattening the layers of management.
He said internally that he doesn't want managers managing managers.
This comes after the company cut 11,000 jobs in November.
Heavy snow is one of the dangerous features of a nor'easter that's blasting upstate New York and New England. CBS's Lily Luciano is in Fitchburg, Massachusetts.
There is so much snow. It's really unfathomable. It's been dumping at about a rate of an inch an hour. Some parts have 22 inches of snow over here. It's been over a foot of snow, I believe, at this point. Power outages are the real concern.
President Biden is set to sign an executive order that aims to boost the number of background checks to buy guns, and it also promotes more secure firearms storage. Nick Suplina is with a gun safety group.
This executive order, among other things, is seeking to further close the background checks loophole. It really is a remarkably broad executive order, and we're really, really happy about it.
Vermont has agreed to a legal settlement that will allow a Connecticut woman to be the first out-of-stater to use a law that allows people who are terminally ill to end their own lives. 75-year-old Linda Bluestein claimed the ban on non-residents was unconstitutional.
I care so deeply about how the last moment of my life is going to go, because I've said goodbye to so many that I've loved who didn't have a good death.
Novo Nordisk says it will start slashing some U.S. insulin prices by up to 75% next year after a similar move made by rival Eli Lilly. Wall Street's right now, the Dow is up about 400 points. The S&P is up 69. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A committee of state lawmakers is putting Wisconsin's parole commission under the microscope today. Republicans criticized the commission last year for freeing a man who killed his wife. He'd only served 25 years of an 80-year sentence. The woman's family complained they never got a chance to respond. His parole was eventually revoked and the chairman quit. More information is coming out about the baby found dead in Whitewater 10 days ago. Authorities say the baby was a boy who was less than 2 days old. Police found the baby in a plastic bag inside a cardboard box. Investigators say they're looking for the baby's parents. In sports, the Bucks beat Sacramento last night 133-124. Milwaukee is at Phoenix tonight. Also tonight, the Badgers open NIT play at home against Bradley. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUK Radio.
The Party of Freedom at it again.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy Pi Day.
Oh, it's Pi Day.
It's Pi Day. For all you math nerds out there.
I envy you.
That they're math nerds?
Yes.
In a different life, you wish you would have been good at math?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think it would open up a whole world of possibilities. And I also think that people who understand math also understand music.
That I think is true.
Right?
I think there's also, I don't know if math and art, but I think there's sides of the brain that go together like that. But certainly I've heard that of music, is that math and music can go together yep. pretty nicely. But so I like that it's not, I like that your reason was not really because of math. It's because you just wanted to be better at music.
Well, it's a side, yes, it's a sidestep to what I really
wanted
to be.
What you really wanted to do.
Which is Taylor Swift.
Oh, well, yeah. So at the end of today's show, we'll have some fun with Pi. Both, for once, I found the parody. That's not even a parody song. I found a Pi song that's supposed to supposedly help you memorize the first 100 digits of Pi.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it. I listened to it. I was like, there's no way that this helps me memorize it, but it's very entertaining.
It is entertaining. And I kudos to you for finding
I
that.
I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find good music,
Look
too.
Look at that.
So we'll have some fun with Pi Day at the end of the show today. But at noon, we are going to be talking to Wendy Strout, who is the state director for Human Rights Campaign. They just endorsed Janet Protasiewicz and Jody Habesh Sinikin for the upcoming election, which is 3 weeks from today.
Yes, make plans now.
It feels a lot shorter than the fall election did, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it technically is shorter between the primary and the general, but it's like, oh man, we are 3 weeks away.
On one hand, though, I'm really kind of grateful that we don't have to wait another month to go vote.
Yes, I do. Because I think at this point, I think it's more of motivating more people to vote than for the people who know they're going to vote, especially for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, know who they're voting for.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm posting a lot of content about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race on As Goes Wisconsin social media, which you should follow on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And one thing I got a comment about, actually multiple comments about, is spring break. Spring break being when the election is.
Oh.
So if you have a young person in your house, and it was general spring break. So I don't know if it's spring break for college students. So for the UW system, if they have spring break during the election, or if K through 12 students in most of Wisconsin schools, that's when spring break is. But someone had made the comment, thank you for posting this because I'll be on spring break, so I just got my So it must be a college student.
Yeah, I would assume.
But just think about it as far as knowing what you're doing April 4th. And if you have vacation plans, get your absentee ballot.
Vote before you go.
Vote early. Mm-hmm. March 21st is early voting. But yes, it is 3 weeks away, which is wild. So yes, yeah, so early voting will start next Tuesday because Monday is my dad's birthday.
Ah.
Which is March 20th.
There you go. And March Madness.
Pretty good that I remember that. And March Madness. All right. So we're doing that at noon, talking to Wendy Strout about human rights campaign, what's at stake for the LGBTQ community in Wisconsin with both of these races, with both the Senate 8 district, District 8 race and the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and probably even some of the mayoral races, because I think Racine, Madison, Green Bay, those are all cities that have done, especially Green Bay and Racine, that have moved hot, jumped up in the human rights campaign index, the score that they give different cities. And it'll be interesting to see how much they attribute those to the current mayors versus and what could change to the friendliness and inclusivity of LGBT in different cities if there was a different mayor. So we'll talk to Wendy about that. But to kick off today, I kind of wanted to bridge off of our conversation yesterday about the Silicon Valley Bank. And where we went after my brother had jumped off the phone was basically talking about, for all the things we do require kids to learn about, there's only 17 states that require personal finance as a required credit before you graduate high school.
Really?
Wisconsin's not one of them. There's multiple districts in Wisconsin that require it, but it's not a state mandate. And it just got me thinking, like, how did you learn personal finance? I'll ask this to the audience. How did you learn personal finance? Was it in school? Was it from your parents? Was it through trial and error? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. How did you learn about personal finance? Because one of the points my brother made when we were talking to him, but also the point that we made was, and granted, understanding the entire banking system is different than personal finance.
Considerably.
But it's still understanding at least the basics of it and where you put your money is a good thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, Jane, when do you remember learning about?
I had a class in high school.
Okay.
That I can remember. They taught us how to write checks, which tells you how long ago this was. But just basics, checking accounts, how to keep a balance, how to balance your checking account. But I don't recall it going much deeper than that.
Okay.
We certainly didn't talk about investing or treasury bonds or anything like that. And the rest of it kind of just came from my parents.
Were your parents good with money?
Yes. And it was very much, if you don't have the money for it, you don't get it now.
Yeah, there is no credit card.
There is no credit. You don't buy on credit. And actually, when I was in high school, I did buy a necklace on credit with the blessing of my parents. But that was the first time that I owed money, you know, and I was paying, $15 a month or something like that.
Wait, how much was the necklace?
It might have been $45. I don't. And so it was like, yeah, I don't want to ever do that again if I don't have to. So and then after my divorce, too, I became really, really good about money.
Because I think about it, I remember in sixth grade, it was a math lesson we learned how to fill out a check, which is not as useful anymore.
Barely useful anymore.
But, and balance a checkbook, which is even less useful because I write so few checks. But, and I do remember that. And I don't think I had to take any personal finance in high school. And then I opted as an elective to take a really useful course in college that, of course, I remember a fraction of. But I took that class and I even thought, started talking to my dad. I was like, maybe I want to be a financial advisor like you. Because it is interesting and it's so complex. And for the people who do that job and do it well, and this mm-hmm. is different than traders and brokers and kind of like the investment banker, like it's the financial advisors who walk people through how to take care of their money, because so many of us,
are clueless.
And it's interesting because I think most people on the face value would say, yeah, this is a good thing. Like, this is probably more applicable than calculus for most kids.
Absolutely.
Not probably. It is.
It is, without a doubt.
I never took calculus, and I'm fine. But I would say having more innate understanding from a younger age, because we all know that things that you learn at a young age stick with you longer. It's like kids who learned a language
right.
that sticks with them versus, you know, trying to do Duolingo as an adult. Doesn't stick. As someone who tried to learn French as an adult, did not stick.
Yeah, it's hard.
And so this is a report from the Badger Project, and they said exactly that. So at least 17 states require students to study financial literacy. Why doesn't Wisconsin? Many schools in the state offer it or require it. Like we said, Milwaukee School District is one of them as far as it's a required credit. But it's not a mandate statewide. And so one thing that's been glossed over, I didn't realize, but Tony Evers put in $5 million to fund the class.
Oh.
It wouldn't be enough for every kid. But then there's also some Republicans who want to require it, but they aren't.
They won't pay for it.
They're not paying. Well, it gets into it. But yes, in their initial bill that they proposed, it doesn't pay for it. And it's a great article. And it just made me think, again, we would love to hear from you as far as how did you learn personal finance? Did you learn it in school? Did you learn it through your parents?
Did you learn it after getting into debt?
Yes. Did you learn it because you had to and had to figure out how to survive? But I mean, I am very much in favor of doing this, and there's all these benefits to doing it that is good for society instead of just being good for the individual kid. And so this is some of them. So obviously there's a huge debt problem right now. There's huge student loan debt. You know, the average debt balance sits between $38,000 and
$40,000. Which is just crushing.
Dollars for student loan debt. And that it has effects on the economy. So like local and national economies, because it reduces spending, it reduces business growth, constraints housing markets. And some research even shows that high student loan debt prevents many Americans from saving enough for retirement and from buying a home. And on the flip side, people who have taken some kind of personal finance or financial literacy courses generally make better choices and have achieve better outcomes down the road. And those students are less likely to be delinquent on their credit and on average have better credit scores. They also are more likely to use federal loans instead of the more expensive private variety. And beyond those benefits, research has found that students who receive some financial literacy instruction are also less likely to use expensive short-term payday loans, which we know are
so bad.
Very predatory.
So bad.
And other research has found that financially literate students are more likely to pay back their student loans. So there's all these benefits of actually to both the student and to society in doing this. And so, like I said, how did you learn about personal finance? And do you think this is something that we should invest in for our kids and our communities? 844-967-2789. We'll take your calls when we come back.
March 15th.
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of the 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You could nominate your D-bag of the year. Got a nominee for us?
There were so many of them, as we can tell. I had to go with the ranked choice system. Okay?
I like the way you think, Rico. Okay. What else you got?
Rojo.
listener poll. I think this nominee for D-Bag of the Year pretty much sums it up.
Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also on our website, go to civicmedia.us.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is hosting a volunteer recruitment party for Judge Janet Protasiewicz at the Drunken Cobra in Wauwatosa tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. Free beer, free food, and live music from Evan Christian all night. Buy your ticket at Eventbrite or at the door.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with a high of 33. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 15 tonight, mainly clear. High of 46, tomorrow cloudy. Mid-40s Thursday with a chance for scattered showers. Turning much cooler Friday with highs in the upper 30s and mixed precipitation. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are talking about personal finance courses and how you learned about your money. Because there's 17 states that do require some sort of personal finance course in order to graduate high school. Wisconsin's not one of them. There's certain districts and schools that do, but not at the state level.
Right.
And there's conversation. There's bills that have been proposed by Republicans, but there hasn't been a way to fund it. Evers has put in $5 million to fund it because ultimately it is an extra cost because you need to hire someone who can teach that course.
Sure.
Not necessarily like the history teacher can just go teach finance. And so we're taking your calls as far as how you learned about personal finance. And so we have one caller.
Ron from Milwaukee is joining us. Thank you so much for waiting, Ron. What did you want to say?
Well, I'm all in favor of a formal financial planning course, a personal finance course. My own experience is quite different. I'm an old guy, and the first time I ever thought about financial planning was somewhere in my early adulthood when somebody says, "Well, why don't you take your money in?" And I stopped them and said, "I have money," and that was about the size of that. My earliest experience was in kindergarten, when our teacher set up a little store in the classroom, and everybody brought empty food containers, and she supplied a toy cash register, and then we took turns being the seller and the buyer, and we learned about how to exchange money, but we didn't learn how to save it or anything like that. And then after that, obviously, I graduated to lemonade stands, and everybody, right? And we lost. Yeah. We always lost money, but we got lots of free lemonade from our folks. Yeah, and that seemed like good economics to me. That was capitalism early defined. And then I didn't know anything more about it until it was time to buy a house. And then they started explaining to me that you could buy on credit, and there were all these things you had to do to protect your investment and so forth. And I won't get into that. And then the last formal bit of training I ever got was just a few years ago when the last business I worked for invited me to a retirement planning group. And it was all about how to arrange your retirement nest egg so that you would be able to live on it for decades more than you possibly could. So that's the extent of my education. And I think most people are about the same boat.
I thanks for the call, Ron. I would say that's probably right. I think it's certain memorable like courses or
moment
exercises
or
in school that with like a good teacher, because I feel like experiential learning like that is always sticky. And then it's just through the process of going through life, right? And I think that is part of the argument, of why student loan debts should be you know, something needs to be done, whether it's forgiven. I still am on the side of, like, we have to stop the bleeding. Like, it's one thing, like this, the bailout is one thing of actually paying off people's debts, but it's also like, if you don't change the problem, because it is, it's like expecting an 18 year old could never take out a business loan of that size. They would never get approved for that.
But it's okay to go to school.
But it's okay to do it for school. And I think it's because at 18, it's hard to wrap your head around that much money.
And it's hard to wrap your head around the amount that interest is going to impact that loan. And that, I think, is something that really needs to be taught early on, what that means.
And that goes both ways, right? It's also, I mean, have you ever seen the Warren Buffett documentary? I think it's HBO. It's excellent. And it's just his obsession from, like, as soon as he, at a very young age, understood compound interest and how much your money doubles itself just by saving it.
Right.
And it grows exponentially. Like, he understood that from such a young age. And granted, he's probably an eccentric genius in, when it comes to finance, no matter what, and it was always programmed to be like that. But it comes back to, what is the investment in your kid, in the kids, and in thus in the community, and thus as a state, by having much more financially literate people. And one of the stories that the Badger Project highlights is in Milton High School. And we've talked, we know Milton because of the Milton House.
Exactly.
But Milton High School received a $10,000 grant from the state's Department of Financial Institutions. And this was back in 2017. And they had a mandatory course for financial literacy in 2017. And part of that decision was, how do we, like, as a community, this will give back to the community. As having people who are from Milton stay in Milton, be better with their money, it serves more of us than just the individual itself. And so I think that comes back to why I feel like this should be a priority. And I understand that even more of a priority is reading in schools, and that is,
you would think
is,
we could combine
you
both
think
of
we
those.
Could do both.
Yeah,
we could walk and chew gum.
Yeah.
But maybe that becomes the debate, is because basically what I understand is the two current scenarios is for Evers in his proposal in the budget is it's a program called Do the Math. And it's a Do the Math initiative that will help ensure our kids have the tools and skills to make smart budgeting and financial decisions to prepare them for their future. And basically, it would be a competitive grant program. So it wouldn't be a mandate. It would be a program that schools can apply to. And then if you get the grant, then you get to fund the literacy classes. And then on the flip side, Dewey Strobel has, I think he's in favor of this, but doesn't want to mandate it. And then there's another program as far as mandating it, but not funding it. And so it just kind of feels like you can't. This is one of those opportunities where the cost per student doesn't factor in to adding new curriculum. So I come back to, it feels like this is a good thing for everybody to actually invest in. What do you think?
I agree with you completely. I don't understand why anyone would not support this.
Do you not? Let's see. If you do not support this, if someone out there right now does not support this, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief, the latest news on inflation from the government. It's easing a bit, but still high. CBS's Jill Schlesinger says prices last month were 6% higher than a year ago.
The core rate increased by 5.5% from a year earlier. That was the smallest 12-month increase since December of 2021, slightly better than the 5.6% increase in January.
Nick Cipollina and other gun safety advocates are applauding President Biden's plan to sign an executive order that looks to expand background checks for gun purchases.
He's doing everything he can within the executive branch of government to protect American lives.
The CBS's Lilia Luciano is in Massachusetts, where there's a lot of snow and it's still coming down from a late season nor'easter.
It hasn't stopped. Wind is coming. The real serious concern, of course, is, you know, power and also people being on the roads. I've seen very few people on the road so far.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. If you receive food share benefits, beware of a new scam. The Department of Health Services warning benefit recipients are getting a text telling them to call a number and confirm personal information so their accounts don't get locked. But that information is then used to steal benefits. DHS says you can protect yourself by monitoring your account balances, creating a unique password, and using security features limiting unauthorized access. And remember, texts or emails from the government agency never ask for personal information or offer a prize for responding. For the seventh year in a row, anti-Semitic incidents have increased in Wisconsin. The Jewish Community Relations Council of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation says in a report there were 101 reported anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin last year, up 6.3% from 2021. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matnair. And we are rounding out our conversation about learning about personal finance. And for so many, it comes down, I think it just comes down to whether or not your parents taught you. Like, I was really lucky that I had a dad who was a financial advisor.
No doubt.
And could guide me. And I'm still not great, right? Like, there's... I've definitely had times in my life where I was definitely in debt and not just because of student loans.
A little overextended, perhaps.
Some bad choices were made. But overall, you know, like, I at least knew that I was making bad choices. And I think about that a lot as far as the foundation that having parents, because there's a lot of parents out there who they also don't know.
Right.
And so
they can't pass anything on.
No. And so, like, I have a friend whose parents are wonderful. And one is a writer, screenwriter, one of the most creative, fabulous women I've ever met in my life. And luckily, she sold a couple scripts when she was young in her career, and so she could pay off her house. And now that she's in her 70s, like, she doesn't know how to save a dime.
Seriously.
And her dad, brilliant man, has done many different careers, spends everything he makes. And, like, it's no wonder that that's exactly how my friend is. Like, somehow she is always broke.
You learn by example.
And so it's like breaking the cycle. It's the same thing of, you know, for first-generation college students, why I think we don't always appreciate how impressive it is that they getting into college, because if you have parents who go to college, they know how to help you navigate the process of doing applications. Yep. And what college is going to be like and all that stuff. And otherwise, you just are on your own, hopefully having like counselors and teachers who can help you. And so, yeah.
We have a text from the 414 talking about personal finances. Personal finances were so different 50 years ago. Workers had pensions, healthcare. They didn't have the financial challenges like student loans that people have today, hindering their savings for retirement. It is a much tougher and bumpier financial road today.
I think that's true.
I think so, too.
And there's also just so many. It's also, I think it's probably really easy to get distracted now. When you think about, what my brother said yesterday, as far as people taking their money out of banks and putting it back into crypto. And so the variety of things that you can put your money into, the variety of things you can lose your money into.
Speaking of crypto.
Yeah. But also speaking of banks, look at me. Granted, those were businesses and it was fraud, basically. But I really think it's also so much of the banking system. And we did have a on the live stream, Changeress said, don't you think making sure students are financially ignorant is by design? Easier targets for debt servitude.
Ooh.
And I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not. I know people who are much more apt to believe conspiracy theories than I am. That is one of the few that I actually am like, I bet there is somewhere a bank lobbyist who is lobbying against financial literacy for the masses because it serves them. So, I mean, the amount of money banks make in like overdraft fees.
Yes, late fees.
And credit card interest. And all of the things that they're just preying on you forgetting or being disorganized, and that just you times that by how many millions, and just the amount of money they make off of your ignorance is disgusting.
Well, yes. And as you say, it's easy to get tricked. We paid off our house, thankfully, like 5 years ago. Because I had always been paying for years. I paid an extra $100 a month on the principal. And so that's why we paid it off like 6 years early.
Wow.
But as I was doing this, and I would always include this extra $100 to go towards the principal, then I would get my little coupon to pay. And one day there was a special sheet in there saying, if you pay us $150, we will remind you to pay more on your principal. But you have to pay us $150 and then we will remind you every month to add this extra money so you can pay down your principal faster. And I called them and I said, you know, I'm already doing this. Why would I pay you
to do this
for something I am already doing? And she was like, well, good for you, but not everyone does. And it's, well, yes, but that's kind of a sneaky way to...
You could also just remind them.
Well, for nothing, you know? Yeah. So there are little things like that that I think people...
I feel like that was a similar thing of when I was signing up, when I first was making As Goes Wisconsin into an LLC. This is almost 3 years ago now, which is literally tomorrow will be my three-year anniversary of getting back to Wisconsin.
Congratulations.
And at the time, I didn't know that I was actually moving back. I thought it was going to be a two-week trip that turned into... I guess I'm not going back to California. But, you know, this is the week, right? This is the anniversary week of...
Today.
Today is the day that everything shut down?
Well, according to JS Online, from what I read this morning, today was the day that the first confirmed cases showed up in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Of COVID.
Because I feel like I know that I came back on March 15th, and like the couple days prior to that were... I feel like what it became very serious for a lot of Americans was when they canceled the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know that they were, like, the amount of money they were about to lose, that they did not make that decision lightly.
And I swear to God, and I said this at the time, if that sassy basketball player hadn't been at that press conference and, like,
the French guy?
And licked the microphone and then got COVID, we would have gone another 2 weeks.
We might have.
And without anything happening or any shutdowns happening.
Because this was also the same week. Do you remember that terrifying Italian, like, montage video?
Of the hospitals?
Of the hospitals and people saying, like, we are your future. Because basically, you know, COVID ran through Italy, basically. And it was about, like, 2 weeks before everything started getting bad here. And they made that video, and my sister-in-law at the time had been, she was already in Italy. They were at on an island. They were in Sardinia.
Oh, wow.
Which I think throughout it, because they kind of, they, as most islands did, because you had to, like, they really shut down. But she started getting really scared about it. And then that's kind of like, once I got back to my parents' house, I was like, I'm not going back and forth from here to LA. Like, we don't know what this is.
Exactly.
What was I going to say? I forgot how I got on this tangent. We were talking about money. We were talking about
COVID. The week,
this week was
the big week.
Oh, when I was starting my LLC. And so I was using one of those, like, kind of like easy online.
Form an LLC.
Yeah. Like all those, like, just do this. And I feel like all of the add-ons in that, like, checkout process of $15 a month for legal things, $25 a month for this. And it's like, as you trying to be a new business owner, and you're just like, I don't know, I guess I'm supposed to have these things. And what racks up?
Oh, I bet.
All of a sudden, if you don't know better, just because they're like, well, we can tack this on. Oh, you totally need this.
Oh, don't go without this.
You need this compliance thing for us to be able to remind you that you do this every year and blah, blah, blah. And it's the same thing when you go through TurboTax and all the different tiered things for TurboTax. It's like there's one free option, but they scare the crap out of you that if you don't get the other option, you're absolutely definitely going to get audited.
And go to jail.
And so, yeah. So it's like, it is expensive to be ignorant.
It is. And you're right. People prey on that. And so that's why I think this should be a no-brainer. It really should be a no-brainer
that we
start teaching our kids a financial class. And like Ron from Milwaukee said earlier in the hour, even lemonade stands.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a grocery store checkout when I was a kid in the basement. And, you know, the plastic with the plastic thing.
Wait, next to the bodies?
Well, in the basement, next to the embalming room. It was always quiet there. It was kind of nice. Not a lot of action.
Not a lot of action down there.
But little things like that are a great way just for parents to introduce your children slowly to money.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they even, do they still have those? There used to be like Christmas club accounts that you could have at a bank. So you would take a dollar from your allowance and put it in the bank, and then they would save it up so that when Christmas time came, you had enough money to buy presents for mom and dad. That was a big thing when I was growing up.
Do you think they took that money and used it on other things like SVP?
Yes, they loaned it out to venture capitalists who bought a boat.
Oh, all right. Well, is this a no-brainer? Switching topics. Is it a no-brainer for Milwaukee and Madison to sue Kia and Hyundai?
I don't know how I feel about this.
So I don't know how I feel about it either. Mostly because I'm like, one, I don't know enough about the law to know if they have standing. Because what I understand is it's kind of under the same argument that all the opioid settlements came down through, as far as like the burden this has been put on the public. By Kia and Hyundai having such crappy cars that are very easy to steal.
Well, that's the issue, is they're super easy to steal.
They're super easy to steal. So I didn't realize this was... I knew, clearly, we know that this is an issue in Milwaukee. There is the Kia boys. There's multiple news outlets that talk about it all the time. Thousands of people have been affected by this.
Yes.
It is a serious problem. And I didn't realize that it's maybe not as bad, but still bad in Madison.
Right.
And so this was yesterday for Milwaukee, but Milwaukee poised and ready to sue Kia and Hyundai over car theft issues. And this is on the heels of news from last week that Madison's Common Council okayed a lawsuit against Kia and Hyundai over car thefts. And I mean, so these numbers in 2022, 8,096 vehicles were stolen in Milwaukee.
Oh my gosh.
And 58% of them were made by either Kia or Hyundai.
58? I wonder what,
58. So over half.
So, but yeah, well, what's the rest of
them? That's what I was wondering too. I can say that my VW has not been.
So far.
I got my window broken once and I don't even know what they were looking for, but not stolen. And then in Madison. No, that was so far this year. But then in Madison, I didn't get a number, but 45% of the vehicles stolen in July and August of 2022 were Kia and Hyundai's. But they're alleging that manufacturers are at least partly to blame because they have failed to equip all their vehicles made between 2011 and 2021. That's a long time.
That is a long time.
Especially if you think about the, like a new car and probably multiple different types of car.
Yep.
Different models and everything, and none of them having the engine immobilizers and like other standard anti-theft features. And the argument they're making is that the thefts have consumed police resources, cost taxpayers money, and endangered the public. And the lawsuit, this is coming from the Madison city attorney, Mike Haas, has said the lawsuit is not only about recovering those damages, but trying to make sure that the manufacturer does something to fix the problem. And the resolution argues that the thefts amounted to public nuisance, which is similar to the arguments used by states and localities in the class action lawsuits against opioid companies. So it's weird because it's one of those things where there's two parties involved here, right? There is, like, certainly Kia and Hyundai should be, and they're giving cities like steering wheel locks and stuff like that. And there's like giving free software updates. But there's also the fact that this would be happening if kids weren't stealing cars.
Well, exactly. I mean, seriously.
And I don't think they're trying to skirt that there is issues as far as trying to end this as a trend that young people, at least in Milwaukee, I don't know who's doing it in Madison, but it feels weird. It feels weird that this is the best solution is to sue the manufacturer.
Well, if we're going to start suing people because they produced a less than ideal product, then this is going to open that, and it's never going to stop.
Yeah. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. All right. Well, when we come back, a fib on the worst magnitude of fibness. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is hosting a volunteer recruitment party for Judge Janet Protasewicz at the Drunken Cobra in Wauwatosa tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. Free beer, free food, and live music from Evan Christian all night. Buy your ticket at Eventbrite or at the door.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 33. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 15 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 46. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. Mixed precipitation possible at times on Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche. Everything you said was a lie. You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche.
But you're still a really, really handsome guy.
Thank you.
You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy
douche. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And no, we're not talking about Brett Favre.
No, not today.
Not today. And we're actually not, I don't think, we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers today. Although it sounds like it could be a done deal.
Aaron Rodgers, watch.
Tomorrow, we should quickly announce this. Jane and I will be in Madison. We are doing a professional development day for Civic Media. And so we're going to come back and be even better on Thursday because we're going to learn so much.
I'm so excited.
We're going to get so much feedback on how to make the show better. But Dan Schaefer is going to fill in for us.
Yes.
So tomorrow,
very excited
for that. Jane and I will not be here, but Dan will be here. He's lined up a slew of guests, including Paul Noonan, because I had pinged Paul last night. I said, hey, if this Aaron Rodgers news drops, do you want to come on the show tomorrow to talk about it? Because I know, you know, it may be your last chance to do a parody song if he's leaving.
Oh.
And he said, I am working on one. So he said, once the song is done, he will debut it on our show.
We need to do a collaboration. It's just screaming for a collaboration.
I know. He could probably use your vocals.
Oh, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
But he was like, well, I'm happy to come on 2 days in a row, but I am going on with Dan on Wednesday. So tomorrow, Dan will be spending some time, I'm sure, talking about whatever progress Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets has developed into with Paul Noonan. And so, no, we're not talking about Brett Favre. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers. We are talking about the FIB, which we know what it's. Do we know what it stands for?
I'm pretty sure we know what it stands for.
I feel like maybe anyone listening in, like, Central, people who are not familiar with having to deal with Illinois people as much, I feel like up north.
Well, Door County
definitely knows.
Door County understands.
Door County understands.
Lake Geneva understands.
Lake Geneva certainly understands. So maybe for Central Wisconsin, it is expletive Illinois.
Expletive. Yeah. It's a disparaging term towards Illinoisians.
I like Illinoisians. So, you know, we say it kind of in good fun, but it's the guys come up from Chicago. They have so much money. They drive terribly. They're rude. They're not Wisconsin people.
Exactly.
And Lake Geneva certainly knows this.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, when you read more of the article, I feel like my initial instinctive reaction to this softened a little bit. But this is a WPR article that says, after 100-plus years, demolition of Lake Geneva-based mansion is underway. So an Illinois resident bought this historic 100-year-old beautiful mansion for $17 million and is just going to knock the whole thing down.
Now he's going to tear it down.
And it's the first time that this, it was the second most expensive home ever to be sold in Lake Geneva. I think in the article, the most expensive one was 36, which for granted. And because at the end of this, a real estate agent from Lake Geneva grew up there, now works in real estate there, I'm sure does just fine for himself.
Right.
And he says, you know, if this was Palm Beach, no one would notice. If this was the Hamptons, no one would notice. And there are, if this was Aspen, you know, it's like, but it is the Midwest, and buying property like this just to tear it down doesn't happen. And like, you know, and he said that it was on the, this house was on the market for like 15 months.
Which is a fair, but again, you're talking about a mansion.
And supposedly there was a lot of, you know, it's 117 years old. And even though the pictures of this house, it is so beautiful.
Yes.
It is, we will put the links for today's show notes so you can see the pictures of this house and how gorgeous it is and how massive it is. And it seems just like, but it's just, apparently there's just too much work.
But what I gathered from that article, it there might be some structural things. It was more decorative things that were out of style. And that's one of the major drivers between before ripping it down, which I find unconscionable. I can only pray that they're going to reclaim as much stuff. I mean, when you see the moldings, when you see the windows, when you see, and again, we'll have this all in our show notes so you can take a look at it. It breaks. It just kills me to see things.
It guts me.
It is. It's physically painful.
And I just, because I like old stuff. Like I like old. I think the character of old buildings and everything. And I understand that they're not efficient. And I understand that, but it's just like they don't make things. Like it's my same problem with. There, you know, whenever there's a new, like the new hotel they want to put on Brady Street, there's some like useless building, like the FedEx is in there or whatever.
Right.
And the proposals, it's like, this doesn't look like Brady Street. Like, is it so hard to make it in the, make something new in the image of what's already there? Like, why does everything have to be so angular?
Yes.
And metal?
Yes.
And glass? And like,
and it just sticks out.
Instead of brick and, like, I just, to keep the style of the area, especially on Brady Street, which is not down, it's not downtown where it blends in with all the high-rises and everything. It's just, well, like, it sticks out. And I feel like, you know, it's like the Chris Abley house.
I was just going to say that. And there's an alderman or former alderman on Milwaukee's South Side who kind of did the same thing. A little neighborhood with he built this three-story glass monstrosity that just looks ridiculous.
And that's the thing. It's like, I feel like, is like the Historical Society not that powerful in Lake Geneva? I feel like this has, you know, if you've seen like any kind of like uppity historical group that is like, does everything they can to protect old buildings. How is this guy getting away with this? Unless there's some kind of, like you said, because it's also the view from the water,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And if the, you know, the two houses next to it, granted, like both, all three houses from this aerial shot, you can tell they're all in like 20 acres of land. It's not like they're next to each other.
Right. It's a big plot.
But, you know, looking from the water onto a house that is just this modern spaceship instead of, you know, a gorgeous piece of architecture and history. And so
maybe he'll surprise us.
Maybe he'll surprise
maybe
us.
Maybe he'll have someone design something spectacular that fits in and is more energy efficient.
It just feels like if you have that much money to spend, if you have $17 million to spend just to knock something down and build something new, could you not have just fixed what was there for my sake?
Do it for us. Do it for us.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Wisconsin Human Rights Campaign Wisconsin State Director Wendy Strout will be here. And then on the second half of the hour, Elon Musk is building a utopia. Ah. And I have feelings about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche.
And don't lie sad and alone.
You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche.
Hold it, everybody. That's my phone. Hello?
You're a douche.
Guys, stop putting your love life on hold. U.S. Pharmacy has some exciting news. If you've been wanting to try Viagra or Cialis, now's the perfect time. Call today and receive 90 little blue or little yellow pills for only $1.19 with free shipping. Why order some low-dose sildenafil from one of those subscription services when we can give you what you want now? Call 800-711-6818 and we'll rush your order discreetly packaged to your door. Been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? Call U.S. Pharmacy at 800-711-6818 for as little as only $1.19 for 90 pills. Need your package in a hurry? Call 800-711-6818 and ask about our express shipping option, and we'll rush your order to you as soon as possible. Save money on this little blue or yellow pill you've been wanting to try. Again, 800-711-6818 now. That's 800-711-6818.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.